Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
We've talked last week, Pastor Robert Mosbach was with us, and it's always a blessing to be around Robert, and he always delivers an inspiring word, and I appreciate that. But I was thinking during praise and worship about this analogy further, and so I want to take it a little bit further because I saw some things that can be further analogous to the difference between trust and faith. We've spent a bit of time, at least the last couple of weeks that I've spoken, about the difference between trust and faith and kind of comparing the two. And how many of you would say it's challenged your thinking in a good way? Good. It's very interesting, and I was just thinking about this. Wow, the analogy, I'm as a result of over the last week or so, I'm gonna turn this into a book somehow, because it's been even so helpful to me. But all right, you're in the left seat. I want you to picture yourself. You're in the left seat of an airplane. The left seat is the pilot seat, is the PIC seat, the pilot in command, okay? In the right seat would either be a passenger, but if you're in training, it's your instructor. We're going to liken that instructor to the Holy Spirit of God. He comes alongside us to help us. Now, we've got an airplane we're going to pretend that our airplane is indestructible. We're going to pretend that the airplane that we're in and all of that is everything God can do. So our trust is this airplane can fly at this speed, okay? It can cruise at this speed. In other words, I talked about how that trust is much of the time tied to what we know. It's tied to what we know about God so that we can read the stats about who God is and all of that sort of stuff. That begins to build trust. It can do that. So we're in an airplane. We're a pilot, okay? We're a Christian. But we're going to go further in our training. We're a VFR pilot, but we're going to go further in our training to become an IFR pilot. We've got the Holy Spirit / the instructor sitting beside us. And we're in an aircraft that we have some faith in what we trust, okay? Because when we became a pilot, we realized that, wow, the POH, the Pilot Operating Handbook for a Cessna 172 says, this aircraft will cruise at this speed. This aircraft at sea level takes your rotation speed is approximately real stats, probably 52 knots, something like that. So you read all of that and you've got trust in it because Cessna wouldn't produce something year in and year out that is untrustworthy. So there it is. It's all there. And you've done your walk around and you've moved wings and you've moved flaps and you've moved ailerons. You've moved elevators. You've moved rudder and you've checked your gas. Everything's good to go. And so you've already built a certain amount of trust in this thing. Okay. There's a couple things that you don't yet have faith in. You don't have faith fully in all the instruments yet because you've never been required to really depend on them. You've never been in a situation that you really had to really depend on them. Because, I mean, after all, when you're flying just in visual flight rules, you really don't need any of those instruments. Did you know that? You don't need any of them. You can kind of get through stuff just actually pretty. You don't even need your... Ultimately, you don't need an altimeter because you can look and see the ground. You don't need to know how fast you are. You don't need to have a speedometer because if you get too slow, stall warning's going to go off and you better put the nose down or you may stall. So there's a lot that you really don't need. You don't need the turn and bank indicator. You don't need to know that you put it in a 15 degree turn. That'll give you a 2 minute radius turn. You don't need to know all of that stuff because all you got to do is just look out. In other words, it's pretty easy. Listen, you can depend on your skills quite a lot. Your skills. You can see. You don't need to know them. You don't need to know the real details about this, that, or the other, because you can see. You can see that, ooh, ground is coming up too quick. You actually, if you get yourself in a nose down attitude and you get going too quick, you actually can hear it. You can hear when the wind is too much, which gives you a warning that says you're going too fast. If you don't take heed to that warning, your wings will fall off. But, okay. that would be a bad day. Just, you know, look at my, there they go. It's like, ooh. Okay, are you with me? And there's many Christians, listen real close. There's many Christians that can go along in life quite easily. Yes, because they got in the airplane, turned it on, ran down the runway and took off. There is a lot of trust in that aircraft, but they don't have to put very much faith in the instruments because they don't need to use them. They've got a whole lot of faith in themselves. Are you with me? But when a storm comes along in life, how many of you know pressure is what reveals what you really got? Pressure reveals if you really got it or not. And there are some pilots that are VFR rated that when they get in the clouds, they get in the soup just simply because they've get lucky or because they really have spent a lot of hours in the aircraft. Maybe after a while they have maybe depended a little bit more on their instruments. They might be able to get through it. But the majority of VFR pilots will crash. Doesn't mean that they'll necessarily die, but most likely they'll crash and burn. But you go through the training, and so here we are. We've got the Holy Spirit of God beside us. Romans 8, the whole chapter, talks about being Spirit-led. So we've got the Holy Spirit beside us. Now we're going into some training. And so how many of you know the best time to really get yourself built up on, for instance, maybe building yourself up on in your faith in the area of healing? How many of you know the best time to do it is when you're feeling well, not when you're sick? Let me liken it to pilot's training again. The best time to learn what your instruments have is not when you're in the storm for the first time, because you might just crash and burn. So the best thing to do is to train yourself. You mean I can train myself? Yeah, I can train myself. How do I train myself? I submit to an instructor. Instructor, would you teach me? Holy Spirit, would you teach me? Okay, so here's what we're going to learn. All right. So we get up, we take off in normal weather. We take off in severe clear, and most of your training will be done in severe clear. There's very few instructors nowadays that will take you in the clouds. My instructor, I sought out an instructor that I said, and in fact, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma to do my training because Tulsa has a lot of crappy weather and a lot of clouds. And I sought out an instructor. I said, I want to be trained in the clouds. I don't want to be trained fake. Okay, there's no validity that one's better than the other. It was just me. I wanted to be in the clouds. And I can almost guarantee you, you can take off from Tulsa, Oklahoma, fly 20 minutes, you'll find clouds somewhere. So that was my deal. I want to be trained in the clouds. And so thing is you've got the Holy Spirit. So I can train myself. Yeah, you can train yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Because how many of you know the Holy Spirit of God, when you're in training, He can get you out of it if you get yourself in too far. Or, listen real close. Or, if you're in severe clear and you just got this thing called a hood on, and the hood just eliminates everything else but your instrument panel, you can just rip the thing off and write everything else yourself. But the cool thing is you know that instructor's there, that in case you make a mistake, he's right there and he can fix it just like that. So you start off in your training and you learn how to stay level. You learn how to stay level and at a right altitude and attitude to where your DG, your directional gyro, you're not moving. You're not, if you're going to fly a heading of 090, which is straight east, 090, you learn how to fly at that heading, at that altitude. And it's like, well, that sounds easy. Well, it's easy. Not at first. But you have to do it here. You can't look outside. You can't look at any visual references at all. In other words, you have to just glue in. You have to get single-minded. You got to get single-minded. Isn't it interesting? One of our praise reports is, you know, I just kind of hoped about a job, but once I finally just got to the place that, okay, I'm going to get single-minded about this job thing. I'm going to set my face. What happened? Really and truly put blinders on. and said, I'm going to get single-minded about this job thing. Lord, you know, and then there she started her prayer and her belief and laid her foundation, okay? So I'm flying along, learned to do that. It's like, okay, cool. Fly at this altitude, fly at this heading, and then I want you to turn there. And in IFR, you don't just turn the way you want to turn. In IFR, you do everything to what's called a coordinated turn at a certain degree bank, because you know this. When you fly in an airplane and you fly at 15 degrees, coordinated flight, you will do a full circle in exactly 2 minutes. Isn't that interesting? So break that down. How many degrees, there's 360 of them, how many degrees are you moving through? Okay, you can do the math yourself, okay? So all this stuff is going on, and so then your instructor tells you, okay, now all of your instruments went out. You don't have any instruments. Now I just want you to look at the little compass, the little magnetic compass. That's real hard to fly by because it moves. It's in oil. You learn to be able to fly. And the odd thing about a compass is it turns in the opposite direction of what you think it should turn. So your brain's going through all of this math. And you're realizing, I want you to go 30 degrees. Standard rate turn. How many seconds it's going to do? Ooh, your standard rate turn just went out. You got to get into a standard rate turn and you time yourself literally by the seconds. Oops, now your compass went out. How are you going to get there? You're flying at this heading. All that. You go through all of that, which is very difficult to do. It really is. After a while, though, guess what? It becomes easier the more you do it. But here's the thing. Here's where faith comes in. So, you're in the clouds. Pretend you've got the Holy Spirit beside you. You're going along in life, and you're on purpose. God, I want to be trained by you to be Spirit-led. So your instructor says, got your hood on? Yeah. Or if you're in the clouds. Okay. Here's where we are. Tulsa Center, or Oklahoma City Center is what controls all that. Oklahoma City Center says, you need to fly at heading 030. You need to climb to an altitude of 7,000 feet. You need to fly that for 17 minutes. At that moment in time, you need to take a heading of 145 and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Part of that's your memorization. You got to put all this stuff to memory, because when you're in the soup and the tower's telling you something, they can't be repeating it to you because everybody else is in the same shape. So you better remember. How many of you know we got to engage ourselves mentally if we're going to stand in faith? Having done all to stand there for. Okay, so you get all this, and they take you through it. You tell your instructor, this doesn't feel right. It's okay. It's normal. It doesn't feel right. Trust that instrument right there. You can base your life on that instrument right there. But I don't know. I don't feel like this is right. It seems like we're turning left and I should be turning right. It doesn't feel as if your instructor puts his hands on your shoulder, puts his hand on your deal and goes, ooh, wait a minute. What does your instrument say? The instrument says, I know, sir, the instrument says I'm going left, but I feel like I'm going right. Yeah. Okay. So what are you going to do? You going to trust your instrument? Are you going to trust the Word of God? Or are you going to trust your own senses? Or are you going to trust the sensations you're feeling in your body? Are you going to trust this deal that you don't have enough? You're not going to have enough to make that payment. Are you going to trust that? Are you going to trust what the Word of God says? The instrument says He'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ. What are you going to trust? Okay, I'm going to trust that. My faith is in that instrument. Okay? The trust was there that the instrument could do what it says. But you haven't built your faith yet in what you trust. So all of a sudden, you do exactly what he says. And then he says, all right, we're going to land at Ponca City. And here we are at Ponca City. Here's where we're going to go. We're going to get from here to there. When Jesus got in the boat, he says, we are going to pass over to the other side. Statement of faith, right? Are you with me? Okay, this is what I'm believing God for. Boom. I'm building my faith in this area. Okay, bang, here we go. We're going to Ponca City. When we get to Ponca City, I want you to use the VOR approach. I won't go into all that, but it's a particular instrument. We're going to use the VOR approach in the runway 07. Okay, cool. You got that? You get there. Man, along the way, it's like, ooh, sir, this doesn't feel right. Trust your instruments. Your instrument's right. It's certified. That VOR said, ooh, man, when I turned that OBS setting to 07, wow, that just feels weird. It just doesn't. Okay, listen. Come on. We've gone through this training. You can put your faith in that instrument. Because that instrument is trustworthy. Okay. There you are in the clouds. You know the ceiling from, you know the AGL of the clouds from elevation of the airport runway to the clouds. You've got 1,000 feet. You're up at 7,000 feet. So you're descending through those clouds. You can't see what's going on. It's just gray everywhere. And you stick to, man, this doesn't feel right. Ah, this doesn't feel right. Ah, I gotta get out of this. So you take your deal off and it's like, okay, your instructor's like, okay. And how many of you know God's patient with us in training? Patient with John in training. Here John is in his 40s. He revealed something. The Holy Spirit revealed something to John that, you know, this is an area to work on. Okay? Let's work on trusting this instrument. Putting our faith in a trustworthy instrument. Okay? So you go, all right, can you do it? Lynn, can you do it? All right. I think, all right, I'm going to do this again. Okay, I'm going to stand in faith for this. Boy, yeah. It's okay. Lynn, is that instrument a trustworthy instrument? Can it do what it says? Yeah, it can. Man, I've ridden with you. I've seen it happen. All right, so we're up again. We go. All of a sudden, it's like, it doesn't feel right. Ooh, this is, yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of scary. It's kind of, all the same time. All of a sudden, you're in the clouds. And there you go. It's like your DME, your distance measuring equipment, says that you're 3.2 miles out. Yep, right there's that marker. The signal goes off. There's the marker. Poof, you break through the clouds, and right there's the runway. And let me tell you what happens right at that moment in time. Every pilot goes inside. Wow. It's a mind-blowing moment every time. I talked to a captain on one of the flights that I flew back from Bulgaria, and we were in the soup, rather, sorry, for a little while when we came to land. And I just looked at him on the way. He was standing there on the way out. I said, isn't that just mind-boggling when you come out and there's the runway? He goes, gets me every time. So guess what? Now you have more faith in what you put your trust in, because it's proved itself to work. Is that a good analogy to help flesh out between trust and faith? The instrument all along you knew was trustworthy. It's certified. You've got a in an airplane, you've got with that particular instrument, you've got a redundant instrument. It's certified. You know it's there. What's amazing though is the, you know, when you fly into the clouds and you haven't trained yourself when you fly into the clouds, it's amazing how you can discount every instrument. You go, no, that's not the altitude. We're going down. I feel like we're going down. Ooh, altitude says you're going level. No, we're going down. I need to pull back. I need to get up. It's like, ooh, altitude says you're going down. So you pull back. Guess what? Now you go into a stall. Now you're in real trouble because you can't see anything. But what's amazing is the amount of pilots that will discount a plethora of instruments. They'll go, no, that altimeter's wrong. I know it's wrong because here's what I feel. Here's what, I know it's wrong. I know it says that. Okay. And if you were to, at that moment, if you could put the potential accident on pause and go, but wait a minute. Has that altimeter ever failed you before? That person would say, no. But the real truth of the matter, if they haven't trained themselves to fly by instruments, the real truth of the matter is they will say, no, here's the subtext. Altimeters work, but I haven't paid much attention to this altimeter. Okay, and they'll discount that, and then they look at the wing leveler, and it's like, everything's level. It's like, nuh-uh, we're going to the right. We're going to the right, and we're going down. I better pull back, and I better go to the left. So now they're going to go into a stall, and they're going to enter a spin, and then they're going to hit the ground. There's a ton of instruments that if you ignore all of them, you're in real trouble. Because they all complement one another. If one goes out, the other one, you can go, ooh, okay, you might have to do some juggling in your mind to go, I can't be going down, because when you have a nose down attitude, your speed increases, and my speed is not increasing. So I'm not going down. Okay? That's the difference between faith and trust. Now the next time you go up, you've built your faith in what you've already put your trust in, because you've gone through the soup, and that thing that you trusted here has proved itself to really work. Okay, now you can do that for 15 minutes. It's pretty easy. Okay? But then you go along, and after a while you want to do a cross country. And one of the things I wanted to do with my instructor is I wanted to go on a cross country for an hour. I said, I want to find a day. In fact, I trusted God for a day that we had horrible weather that I could fly for a solid hour. I wanted to take off, get into the soup, and fly for a solid hour and land at another airport in the soup. I wanted to do a real world point A to point B. We're in the soup. We did it, and I went, wow, wow, wow. What did that build faith in me for? That build, you may not look at it, but life continues to build our faith, or it can also tear it down. I think I shared Sunday morning in one of the services, I don't know, but I spoke at Eagle Mountain. I had to get back home, and when I called the weather, there's clouds all the way to the Rockies, all the way to Cheyenne, Wyoming was the first clear place from Fort Worth, Texas. I've got to get home. I have a very high standard because I'm no good dead. Are you with me? I really do have a very high standard. If the weather doesn't meet a certain criteria, I'm not going up. That's just all there is to it. So there was no icing. Everything was good that way. So as long as there's no icing, and you can be in the clouds, there's no icing, I'm good to go. We'll fly. I didn't have to fly through any thunderstorms. You stay away from cumulonimbus-type clouds. You stay away from that stuff, you know, the bad stuff. So it was all good. So I just swallowed deep and went, okay, we're off. Now here's the cool thing. That day, the person sitting right seat was a passenger on my airplane, like you. You've got people on your airplane of life. People follow you. I made the statement Sunday morning that it's important that we get people safely to the other side and with as much ease and peace and comfort as possible. So the guy that was with me was a big old tough cowboy. But big old tough cowboys, when they hear the weather and see the weather, because the weather was 1,000 feet, we were in the clouds, he goes, "Are you serious? We're flying today." Oh yeah, we're good to go. I assured him why we're good to go. We don't have to worry about this, that, or the other. We don't have icing. We don't ever. We can do this. Are you serious? He got in, and for probably the first 30 minutes, he was white-knuckled. Got sick, the whole nine yards. But after a little while, I had him fly. He's not a pilot. But I just knew that if I could get him participating in the flight, he would enjoy the ride a lot better. 30 minutes in, he forgot that we were in the clouds and it was good to go. We never came out of the clouds for 2 hours and 2 hours and 50 something minutes we were in the clouds. Never came out till Cheyenne, Wyoming. But I'm going to tell you, the first time I flew IFR, I could have never done that. What happened? I built my faith. My faith grew in what I already knew to be trustworthy. I knew that the airplane was trustworthy. I knew the engines were trustworthy. I knew that every instrument in there was trustworthy. I already knew that, but my faith grew in the ability of all the stuff I already put my trust in. And I built my faith stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'm not saying it boastfully. I'm just saying that that trip, I was able to make that kind of a trip, but I could not have done it at the very beginning. Does that make sense? So if you were liking it to maybe finances, work your faith out on $5 debts, a 10-minute flight. Don't try to make a cross-country flight and pull yourself out of $1 million debt. Does that make sense to you? Should something happen that you find yourself in a very huge financial crisis, let's build ourselves up along the way so that when we find ourselves in that, we're prepared for it. It might be very sobering. I'm going to tell you what, when I took off from Fort Worth, it was a sober moment for me. not in terms of I was not afraid. I just knew that this is game on. I've got a passenger with me, and we're going to get there safely, come hell or high water. And we're going to do it in a wonderful way. And we're going to do it. So, Shaul, you better. And I have a confession that I make when I'm in that airplane. The instant I go into the clouds, if you ever happen to fly with me and we fly into clouds, here's what you're going to hear me say. I say this: you are trained to fly this airplane, so you fly this airplane. I took off from Deb Copenhaver, is one of our Champions Rodeo Camp instructor. He's a legendary cowboy. And last year he invited me to, he was in the Hall of Fame, they inducted him into the Pendleton Roundup Hall of Fame. Deb's like my adopted dad, and Deb called and said, son, he calls me son, he says, son, I would sure love it if you could be here for my induction. And I said, Deb, I'll be there. He said, when is it? He said, well, he said, Pard, you're going to have to leave church as soon as church is over because it's Sunday afternoon. And I said, I'll be there. So I checked the weather, and severe clear, got in the airplane, flew to Pendleton, landed, great. The festivities went on forever. And I took off at 1 o'clock at night to fly back to Twin Falls. However, it was what you call a black night. All the weather said it was VFR. There were no clouds at all. Low. But the clouds were way up high. There was clouds like at 30,000 feet. Which that just means you're good to go. Everything says VFR. But it was a black night, which means there's no horizon. So there's no ambient light that points out horizon. So if anybody's ever been to Pendleton, if you go by the way the crow flies, there's a set of mountains there that pretty gnarly mountains, and you better get up over those deals. And in fact, when you're climbing out, you just can't climb out on a low climb out. When you climb out, you better get up. Well, I'm thinking, good, we're good to go. Sometimes you don't know you're in a black night until you find yourself in one, and that particular phenomenon claims the lives of a lot of VFR pilots. It happens around here, and many of the accidents that take place in Jackpot, Nevada in an aircraft are because of a black night. Because they can't see that bluff. That's just, if you take off that way, they can't see that bluff, and they fly right into that bluff. So, you get up in the air. How many of you know that you can find yourself in life? Everything looks good. But how many of you know the devil can throw you a curve that you never had a clue about? You never had a clue. There was nothing in the natural that pointed to you that there was ever going to be a problem. So guess what I do? I've got the ambient light of the city. I can see the city well. Soon as I take off the ground, I'm 25 feet off the ground, and I realize, holy smoke, this is a black night. And instantly, vertigo set in with me. I got dizzy instantly. How many of you know the devil can catch you off guard to where you can find yourself shell-shocked in life? But my confession, I said, if you would have been in the airplane that time, your ears would have been really hurting. Because I spoke over the engines, louder than the engines. I said, really loud. So to the top of my lungs, I said, Lynn Shaw, you are trained to fly this airplane. Fly this stinking airplane. And I kid you not, as soon as I said that, if a computer graphic could be done, it was like, so the music behind would not be music, it would be, and everything, the lights of the city, everything went away. Instant. This all happened, guys, in like 3 seconds. But instantly, when I said, you are trained to fly this airplane, fly this stinking airplane. Vroom. Instantly. Everything went away. All the vertigo instantly went away. Airplane righted up. I just climbed, got up to my altitude, took off, and went. No fear, no nothing. But Adrian, I called Mark the next day. Pastor Mark has got his private pilot's license. And I told Mark, I said, you will get your instrument rating. I said, you will. He said, why the phone call? And I said, Mark, I took off last night from Pendleton, Oregon. And if another VFR pilot would have taken off, they would have crashed. They'd have either Christ before they got out of the city, or they'd have crashed into the mountainside because it was a black night. I said, have you ever flown in a black night? He said, never. I said, you're literally flying into a black hole. You can't see anything. No ambient light to show trees, nothing. You can't see anything. And I just, you know, since I've been thinking about this, isn't it interesting? The devil can catch you unaware. But how many of you know your training that you have in God can come back? That's why a good, if I could say it this way, a confession that's based upon the truth, not that's based upon fantasy or hope, but a confession that's based upon the truth. For instance, this, you know what, Lynn? You are his sheep, therefore you do know his voice. So stop acting like you can't hear from God. You do know his voice, so listen. You know what I mean? Anyhow, so we'll talk a little bit more, but hope that fleshes out the difference between. You see, I had a lot of faith in that airplane because I have flown in those instruments so many times in the soup. I'm not worried at all about those instruments. I have strong faith in what I've already deemed trustworthy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.